Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Kuf Aleph. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Rani and Frida Gindi and family in honor of Mr. and Mrs. Jack and Norma Gindi. Today's daf is being studied by Ilu Nishmat Acham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. We began yesterday on Daf Kof. Actually, we ended after the Mishnah. Let's just review this Mishnah one more time, and we'll begin the Gemara. So we're on the Mishnah on Kof Amud Bet. Hazorek min hayam liyabasha. The person throws something from the Yam. Yam would be the ocean, which has a din of a Karmelit, to the Yabasha, which has a din of a Reshut Yachid. Umin hayabasha al hayam, or the opposite, from the Reshut Yachid to the Yam, to the Karmelit. Umin hayam the Sefina, who he throws from the Yam, which is a Karmelit, to the Sefina. Sefina has a din of a Reshut Yachid, because it is 10 high, the walls, and 4 tefachim wide. Umin hasefina al hayam, or the opposite, from the Reshut Yachid of the Sefina to the Yam, to the Karmelit. Umin hasefina al chaverta, for that matter, from one boat to another, patur. In all these cases, the din is patur. Sefinot, kishurot, zubazu. If you have boats that are actually tied to one another, metaltelin, mizu, lezu. One is able to carry from one boat to the other. The Gemara will explain exactly what the chidush in that case is. Since both boats are the shuta yachids, so what's the chidush that you can carry from one to another? Im enam kishurot, however, if they're not tied to each other, apapi shemukafot, even though they're close to each other, en metaltelin mezu lezu. The Gemara is going to explain that we're talking about two boats that are owned by two different owners, and therefore, in order to carry from one boat to the other, you must have what's called erube haserot. And when the boats are not tied to each other, so now there's a karmelit, the ocean itself is in between the two boats, and that breaks the erubeh haserot. That's why only when the boats are actually touching is it permissible to go from boat to boat. However, when the boats are detached, a karmelit in between them breaks the eruv haserot. Comes again and says, Itmar, we have a statement, Sefina, regarding boats, Ravuna Amar, Motsi'in Hemena Ziz, now we're discussing the way one would be allowed to draw water from the ocean on Shabbat up into the boat. So the first opinion is Ravuna. He says the only way you'd be allowed to do that is if you place on the edge of the boat or somewhere on the boat a ziz. A ziz would be a piece of, let's say, wood that is protruding off the boat. The Gemara will explain to us what the purpose of the ziz is, meaning why do you need it and what does it accomplish. If you look in your Pirush Hais, you'll see in 565, it's a little protrusion that is just coming off the front of the boat. That is called a ziz. Okay, that is like a plank that's coming off the front of the boat. So again, Itmar Sefina Ravuna Amar Motzine Men Aziz Kol Shu Memale. Rav Chesda V'Rabba Baravuna Amre. Rav Chesda V'Rabba Baravuna both said, Ose Makom Arba'a U'Memale. They said, no, you have to make a box, let's say, that is made of 4x4 tefachim. I would say this looks like a frame of wood, let's say, that's made of 4x4 tefachim. And you would place the bucket through this frame all the way down into the water and draw through this frame. If you look at picture 566 of Pirush Chai, you see that 4x4 frame that's hanging off the boat and the bucket is drawn through there. Now the Gemara is going to explain to us what this does. Why do you need these items? Comes the Gemara and says, Rav Huna Amar Motzi'e Men Aziz Kol Shehu Memaleh. Rav Huna that says that you have to place, let's say, a plank off the side of the boat, and then you'll be able to fill up from the ocean into the boat. Kasabar Kosiyot Katmelit Me'ara'a Mashchinan. He says, when we say that the ocean has a din of a Karmelit, which part of the ocean has a din of a karmelit? So he says the karmelit begins from the ocean floor. The bed of the ocean is where the karmelit starts. Now we know karmelit is like an ishut terabim in the sense that it rises up to 10 tefahim. Just like an ishut terabim we said, goes up to 10 tefahim, and then above that is considered a mekompetur. So the same thing regarding a karmelit. You measure 10 tefahim from the ocean bed, rise up 10, and then after 10 tefahim, then already the rest of the ocean and the air above it is going to have a din of a mekom petur. So therefore he says, and I read inside, the karmelit you measure from the floor of the ocean. Va'avira mekom peturu. And the avir, the airspace above the 10 tefahim mark, is going to be considered a mekom petur ubedinu, and really according to the law, disease nameh lo lebaeh. You shouldn't even need a disease, meaning because technically it would be permissible to go from a mekom petur into a reshut yachid, because you're drawing water from the top of the ocean. The top of the ocean already would be considered a mekom petur because it's above, let's say, 10 tefahim from the. We assume that from the bed of the ocean, and therefore you're taking from a mekom petur to a. So technically you shouldn't need anything. However, but just in order that it'll be a heker, meaning the rabbis necessitated to put a ziz there in order to make it a heker, something recognizable. Recognizable for what? Because the people might not understand how this is working. They might think that the karmelit begins from the top of the ocean, and therefore you're taking from a karmelit into a reshut yachid. So by putting disease there, you're showing them that no, by the ocean it works differently. It starts from the bottom, and therefore I'm in the clear. Which means you need to do something to show that this case is permissible. So by placing this aziz out, you're showing them that really I'm not taking from a karmelit to a reshut yachid, which would be asur. I am indeed taking from a mekom petur. Why? Because you judge the karmelit starting from the bed of the ocean, and therefore go 10 tefahim higher than that. Now when you're in the mekom petur, so it's more of a heker to let everybody know that you're doing something that really is permissible, so nobody should think that you're doing something that is isur. Rav Chisda baravuna amre, Rav Chisda baravuna come along and say, makom arba umimaleh. They say no, it's not enough to make a ziz. You actually have to make this frame of 4x4 and fill the bucket through that frame. What's their logic? Kazabre, karmelit, misfat, mayam, ashrinan. They say that you start the measurement of the karmelit from the ocean itself, from the top of the water. The top of the water would be considered, imagine if it's land. And therefore, just like a regular land, you judge the land and ten tefachim above that. So Gemara says, maya ar'a semichta, which means we consider the water as it is thick land. And therefore, ilo avid makom arba'a, if you're not going to make this a frame that is 4x4, kametaltel mekarmelit reshut yachid. So it comes out you're taking from a karmelit, which is the top of the water, into a reshut yachid. Now what does this frame do? So this frame we consider as if imaginary walls are protruding downward from the side of the frame, and therefore it's as if you have a area of 4x4 with walls of 10 tefahim, and therefore you're actually drawing water from the reshut yachid straight up, because we consider the walls protrude all the way down, and therefore you're drawing water from the reshut yachid, which is right under this frame, and it's going to go into the boat, which is the reshut yachid, and therefore it would be permissible. So according to Rav Chisda, it's necessitated according to the halakha to put this frame there, because otherwise you're going to be taking from a karmelit into a reshut yachid, which we assume the rabbanan. Whereas according to the first rabbi Rav Huna, really there's no isur over here. Really, prakot petur to a karmelit. You just need disease just to make a heker. Amar Rav Nachman Rav Ravu Ul Rav Huna Damar Motzi Emen Aziz Kol Shu Memaleh. According to the first opinion of Huna, that says you put disease out there in order to make a heker, and you can fill up the water onto the boat. Zimnin Deleka Asara. What happens if there's not 10 in the waters. If the waters are not, let's say, tektifachayim deep, then what's happening? They come into the committee to the yachid. So it comes out, now you're going to end up taking from a karmidi, because if you're counting from the bed of the ocean, if you don't have 10 deep in the water, so you're going to have, let's say, an ocean that is an area which is, let's say, eight tefachim deep, and that's considered a karmelit. Disease doesn't do anything for that. So therefore, what are you going to do in such a case? We have a tradition. We have a tradition. When we say a sefina, we're talking about big boats. The big boats do not travel in less than 10 tefachim of water. So therefore, the assumption is that you'll be okay. Now, it should be pointed out that even if there's a 10 tefachim of water, you still have a problem, because in bottom line, if you have exactly 10, you're still going to be drawing in the karmili. So those 4 points out, you have to say 10 plus. Right. You have to say 10 a little, therefore you're going to be drawing above the 10 tefachim area, which will be the mekom petur. The Gemara says, v'hamursha itle. Yeah, but the boat has in its, the front of the boat is a little elevated out of the water. See, the boats, like we have today, some of the front of them actually rise up above the water, meaning there's parts of the boat that do not need 10 tefachim to sail in. And therefore, if you're going to draw water from the front of the boat that is elevated a little out of the water, could be you'll be in an area that is within 10 tefachim, and therefore you're drawing from a karmelit. If you want to see that front area that we're talking about, it's called the Morsha in your Pirush Chai's picture number 570. It's on the right side there. You see the front of the boat is protruded a little above the water. Therefore, it can travel in less than 10 area. And therefore, we're concerned if you're going to draw from that spot, you're going to be drawing from a karmelit into an ishut, a yachid. Gemara says, Amar le, I'm sorry, Amar Rav Safra, Geshushe Azle Kama. You have the Geshushe. Geshushe are the sailors that stand at that point of the boat with rods in their hand. And they're always measuring the water to make sure it's at least 10 tefachim so the boat doesn't get stuck. So even at that spot, you won't really travel in less than tefachim water. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rav Chaya Bar Avin, Rav Chizda Uraba Bar Avuna. Now we're going to the other rabbis. According to Rav Chizda, that says what? The Amar Ose Makom Arba'o Mim, that you make a 4x4 frame and you fill through the box. And what do we say that does? That makes it an ishut hayachid. Shofchin dide hechi shadidehu. Where you're going to throw out the dirty water, which means you taught us now how to collect the clean water, which means through the frame. However, now you have dirty water. Where are you going to throw it through? Which means the Gemara assumes that you're also going to have to need, let's say, a frame in order to throw, because otherwise you're going from a reshut hayahid, the boat, to a karmelit. Now, the Gemara does not accept that you're going to throw it through the same spot, because people are not going to drink those waters over there now that you're throwing the dirty water in the same spot where the clean water is. Now, according to the other rabbi that says Aziz, so therefore it's very simple. If you could put a Z's in the front of the boat, and that's where you'd be able to draw water, put another Z's on the back of the boat, and that's where you could throw the dirty waters. Or I could tell you that once you have a Z's on the boat, one Z's is enough, and therefore you could draw water on one spot, and you could throw water on a different spot. But the Gemara doesn't assume that the rabbi is going to make you need now two frames on the boat, because that would be considered a big tirha. So the Gemara is asking according to that opinion. You're not telling me that you have to make two frames, one for drawing water and one for throwing water off, and we can't assume that you're going to use the same frame to draw water from and throw the dirty water, because it's going to really be in the same spot in the waters. The Gemara is asking, according to Rav Chizda, how do you get rid of the dirty waters? So the Gemara says, maybe you'll tell me, and if you're going to entertain that you'll throw it through the same item in order to make it a reshut yachid, it's ma'us, it's disgusting, which means people are not going to drink the waters, that the clean waters that were taken from the same spot where the dirty waters were thrown. So the Gemara says, deshadi lehu adafna desfina. So what you do is you throw it off the side of the boat. Now, throwing off the side of the boat is considered really a reshut hayahid. So you take the dirty waters and you bang it, you throw it off the side of the boat. Now they'll trickle down into the water. Now what is that? The bottom line, you're still going from a reshut hayahid to a karmelit. So the Gemara says, v'ha'ika koho. So what do you mean? But it's your strength, which is, you're right, it's not directly but it's working from your strength, which means you're throwing it against the side of the boat, and then it's going down, but your strength was behind it. So we have a principle, since over here it's only rabbinical, and you're not going directly, you're going through a strength, meaning it's not your direct throwing, and it's like you're just emptying the waters into the karmelit itself, you're throwing it against the side of the boat, and it's dripping down itself in the karmelit, and we're not gozer on kawah, and therefore it's permissible to do such a thing. So the Gemara says, umina timra, how do you know that they weren't gozer koho in a karmelit? How do we know that would be permissible? Netanya, because we have a braita, sefina en metaltelin lo metocha layam velo min hayam netocha. As we learned, you're not allowed to carry not from the boat to the yam or the yam to the boat. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, amuka asara. Let's say the boat is 10 tefachim, meaning the walls of the boat themselves are 10 tefachim, meaning they are a full-fledged reshut hayachid. Ve'en gevoha asara. But let's say they are, it's a boat that's laden with a lot of things, and therefore the walls of the boat are submerged in the water, and therefore there isn't 10 tefachim of wall above the surface of the water. That's what it means. Ve'en gevoha asara, metaltelin metocha liyam. So it would be permissible to carry metocha from the boat, to transfer from the boat itself to the yam, aval lo min hayam letocho, but not the other way, not from the yam to it. Now we have to understand what the difference is, which means you're telling me you have a boat that's 10 tefachim. It's submerged in the water where you don't have 10 tefachim, let's say, of wall being shown, right? The walls themselves are submerged in the water itself. And now you're telling me that while it would be permissible to throw things from the boat into the water, but it's forbidden to go from the water to the boat. So the Gemara says, what's the reason why you can't go from the water to the boat? Why is that forbidden? Because you're going from a karmeli to the reshut hayachid. So the Gemara says, metocha deyam nameh. So it should be forbidden the other way as well, from the boat to the yam. Why? Kamitaltelem reshut hayachid lekarmelit. So the Gemara says, el alav achuda. Must be talking about over here, where we're talking about where you're throwing off the dirty waters. And where you're throwing them off the side of the boat. Which means must be, we're talking about a case where we're allowing you to throw things off the boat indirectly. How are you going to throw them off indirectly? You throw them off the side of the boat. By throwing off the side of the boat, it's indirect koach from a reshut hayachid to a karmelit. Now obviously you can't throw things up to the boat like that, because if you're going to throw it against the wall, it's just going to come down again into the waters. So the Gemara is coming to tell you over here a special deen. That what? If you have the boat that is a reshut hayachid, while you'd be allowed to throw things off the boat, even without this square frame over here, because bottom line, I'm not throwing directly, I'm throwing off the side of the boat. The only question is, what are we throwing in over here, a provision where the boat is, let's say, 10 tefachim tall? The reason why you have to say that is because if the boat was less than 10 tefachim, then it itself would be a karmelit.
Right.
And therefore, it would be permissible to throw from a karmelit to a karmelit, or the other way, from the ocean to the boat. So we have to say that the boat is a reshut hayachid in order to create a case. And then the reshut hayachid, it's only permissible to throw it off the side, because you're going from koach, from a reshut hayachid to a karmelit. The only second question that we have to ask is, why did the Gemara say a case where the boat is submerged a little into the water? So the Mefashim explained like this: when the boat is submerged into the water a little, within 10 tefachim, so therefore, it's clear that the ocean now is, when you're drawing from the ocean, you're drawing all the way in a reshut of a karmelit. Let's analyze again. According to this opinion, the assumption is the karmelit begins from the top of the water, okay? And 10 tefachim up is still considered a karmelit. Now, if our boat is submerged in the water a little, so from the bed of, from the surface of the water to the top of the boat is all karmelit, because it is less than 10 tefachim. And therefore, you're going directly from a karmelit into a reshut Hayachid, which is the boat. Let's say it was not like that. Let's say there was, for example, more than 10 tefachim from the top of the surface of the ocean to the boat. Then, let's analyze the path of the water. You'd be going from a kamelit, right? Once you draw the water above 10, you're now in a mekum petur, then you're going into the boat. So the path would be kamelit, mekum petur, reshut yachid. If that was the path, the rabbis would say it would be mutar. Why? Because since you went via a mekom petur, it's permissible. Now granted, even though normally when you go from a reshut yachid to a reshut rabim, via a rabbinical domain, it's asur. Meaning, for example, if you went from a reshut yachid to a reshut rabim through a karmelit, it would be asur. Because those are biblical domains, reshut yachid to reshut rabim. Here, where you're going from a rabbinical domain, a karmelit, to a reshut yachid via a mekom petur, that would be permissible. So therefore we had to make a case where there's no mekom petur here. How do you make a case where there's no mekom petur? Right, where the boat is submerged a little, and therefore from the surface of the ocean to the top of the boat, it's all karmelit. And therefore, to put from the karmelit to the boat itself, there's no option. What do you do? Throw off the side of the boat? It's just going to fall right back in the ocean. But going from the boat to the yam would be permissible. How? By throwing it off the side of the boat. Now actually you're not throwing it off the side of the boat in this case. It says chuda. You're throwing it off the ledge of the boat. Because let's analyze that as well. If you throw it off the side of the boat, then already you're going from a, you're in the airspace of a karmelit already. So again you're going from a karmelit to a karmelit. But if you throw it off the boat itself, which means if you look in your picture, you'll see that in 574, you're actually throwing it off the ledge of the boat itself, which is considered a shoot. And from there, it's dripping down into the karmelit. So again, we see here that kohor in the karmelit, the rabbis did not make a gezerah. Now, this actually is a braita. Now this braita seemingly supports the opinion that says that the karmelit starts from the surface of the water, which is a proof to Rav Chisda. How is Rav Huna that learns that the karmelit begins from the seabed? How we learn this braita? So the Tosfot says no problem. We can say that this case over here is talking about where he did not put a ziz on the boat. Now if you didn't put a ziz on the boat, then Rav Chisda, then Rav Huna is going to consider the ocean a karmelit, which is by putting the Z's, that already coaches it up in order to draw the water. But if you didn't put a Z's, then the rabbis are going to make a gezerah to treat the whole ocean as a karmelit. So therefore, this braita can be explained according to Rav Huna in a case where you did not put a Z's, and therefore, the Hakamim tell you, you cannot draw from the ocean up, but you will have to draw from the boat down, wow, by throwing it off the side of the boat, which is going from a reshut yachid to a karmelit, in a case of a koach, which is not direct. So we proved our point that kohob karmelit lo gazrina. Comes the Gemara now further. Amar Ravuna, Ravuna taught, hane bitziata demeshan. These small river boats. There was a river called the Meshan River. It was a very narrow river, and the boats that used to travel in this river were very, very small. So the Gemara says, Rashi actually tells us, Sefinot ketanot veketzarot, they were narrow, milmata ad kechodosh el sakin, which means they were like canoes, that they came down to a point, which means to a very narrow point. They were not flat bottom boats, but they came down to a point. We have a picture of these boats over here in your Pirush Hai. Right, if you look at it, you'll see it in what picture is that? You'll see it. Actually, you'll see some pictures on 130, where you start to see the bottom of the boat come to a point. So, comes the Gemara and says regarding these boats, one is not allowed to carry on these boats. Ela, they have to change that to be'arba amot. So you're only allowed to carry within four amot on the boat itself. Now the Gemara is going to explain that she says, "Delav reshuti yachidinu," which because these boats are not considered a reshuti yachid. Why? Because for a reshuti yachid you need 4 wide and 10 high. Here they are not 4 wide. The base of them come to a point, and therefore you do not have a status of a reshut yachid. It's going to be considered a Karmelit, according to Nashi, and the Karmelit did not have to carry only up until 4 amot. If it had the measurement of 10 high, 4 wide would be considered a Shuti Yachid, therefore you'd be permissible to carry throughout the whole boat. But since it doesn't have the width, the boat does not have the width, throughout, which means, I'll explain it to you, therefore, since it doesn't have the width throughout, it's a din of a karmelit, and therefore you cannot carry only up until 4 amot. So the Gemara says, "Velo amaran ela." When is this talking about? She'en befachot mishlosha arba'a, which means we're talking about over here that the narrow part of the boat is above 3 from the ground, which means, let's say, from 4 tefachim high, already it starts to get less than 4 tefachim. Because if, let's say, within 3 tefachim of the ground, it was already 4, then already we would use the principle of lavud. Now, let's analyze exactly what we're saying over here. You have walls on the top of this boat, okay? They go down. Now in that area, there is 4 tefachim width. So technically so far, you have the shi'ud of a reshut yachid. However, towards the bottom of these walls, it starts to narrow out. Now the deen is, once the area starts to narrow out, these walls are considered cut. As Rashi calls them, they're called mehitzot teluyot. So now, imagine your walls end at 7 tefachim, and now you have just dangling walls, and therefore they become cut from the walls that are beneath them that are less than 4 tefachim. So technically you don't have walls of 10. However, if let's say the mechitzot went down, right, and within 3 tefachim of the ground you had already a shiur of 4, then already I would say, imagine the floor of the boat rises up. Right, because lavud we could connect the areas. So imagine the floor of the boat rises up within 3, and now you have the floor of the boat. There's 4 tefachim there, and let's say you had 10 tefachim from that spot of wall going up. Then indeed you would have a reshut hayachid. But since on this boat, within 3 tefachim of the ground, it's still narrow, therefore you cannot employ the law of lavud. Therefore your walls that are above it are considered mechitzot tiluyot. They're considered hanging walls, and therefore you cannot make a reshut yachid out of this boat. And therefore, as a din of a karmelit, therefore you can only carry within 4 amot of the boat. Now let's read Rashi, please, inside together. And she says, "Velo amaran ela." Let's read that as she inside. This deen that we said that the boat has a deen of a karmelit, b'shekatze shelahen, when the narrow part of them gavoa shalosh, right, is higher than 3, which is the narrow part starts above 3 from the ground. She'en rachav dalet lemata. It's not wide 4 below. Be'od shelo gbiya shlosha mekarkiroto, within 3 of the ground. Ve'afilu yesh beruchbo yud gova. Even though, let's say, you still have walls of 10 on the boat. Lo b'shtare. Why? Tekevan de tachtonot lav me'itzaninu. Since the bottom walls are not considered a me'itza, havileh, which is the top walls are considered hanging. So according to Rashi, the way he's understanding is the problem here is the walls. The walls, once they go to an area that's narrower than 4 tefachim wide, so it's considered as if they're cut off from the top walls. And therefore you have hanging walls, and therefore it's going to be a problem. However, if let's say you would employ the law of lavud, Lavud would tell you that raise the floor to the spot where it's 4, imaginary. Now, from that imaginary floor where you're raising it, if you have from that spot 10 tefachim of wall high, then you would not have a problem, be considered a shuta high. Now the Gemara gives us another option, how to kosher up this boat to make it a shuta high. The Gemara says, V'i malinu kane ve'urbane, if you would fulfill the floor of the boat with reeds, or urbane would be willows, meaning you fill it up, you stuff it up with things, let lamba. Because basically what you did is you elevated the floor. By elevating the floor now, so now you'll start from the floor until 10 tefachim higher, and then you have a legitimate bishutai, which is 4 by 4 at its base, all the way up, 10 tefachim. Otherwise, has a din of a karmelit. Matkif la Rav Nachman. So the Rav says, hold it. What do you have to do all these things over here by filling it up to make it kosher to the shuti ayin? There's another way you can say it. Velema gud achit mechitzta. Let us use the principle called gud achit mechitzta. There's a halakha l'mashivisana that teaches us that when you have already walls, so you're able to say that the wall imaginarily juts down. Gud achit. Gud is a wall. Gud achit, which is, let's say, the wall goes down and therefore makes a mechitza. So why don't you say that by the sides of the boat? Meaning, in the area that's 4x4, right? Right where it ends, let's say, imagine that wall continues to go straight down, and therefore if it goes straight down, you'll still have an airspace of 4 tefachim, which means to make it a shuta yachid, according to Rashi, you don't need a floor space of 4 tefachim. All you need is airspace of 4 tefachim. So therefore, if you imagine the walls of the boat in the wide part just go straight down, you draw a straight line down, or the, using gud achit mechitzta, therefore what? You'll have walls of 10 with airspace throughout of 4 tefachim, and that can make a legitimate bishut hayachid. Now where do we see that we use the principle of gud achit? Gemara says, Milo Tanya, didn't we learn in a braita? Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, Na'atz Kane B'Rishut HaRabim. Let's say a person thrusted a pole into the Rishut HaRabim. The pole, let's say, is 10 tefachim high, but it doesn't have the width, let's say, of 4 tefachim wide. U'B'Rosho Traskal. But you placed on top of the pole a basket. Okay? V'Zarak V'Nachal Gabav. And now you threw something and it landed on top of the basket. If you want to see the case over here, look at your Pirush Chayes, page 5, picture 580, where you see a pole in the Rishut HaRabim, the basket is actually upside down. Okay? Now, it's resting on top of the pole. Now, the basket itself, while it has 4x4 tefachim, but it doesn't have the walls of 10. Right? And the pole is very narrow. So what we say is, the Gemara says, Hayav. You're Hayav in that case. Why? Because we imagine that the walls of the basket protrude all the way down. Right? The sides of the basket, using the principle of gud achit. And therefore now, when you threw it on the basket, you have a basket with walls of 10 and a width of 4. Therefore, if you threw from the Rishut HaRabim and it landed on the basket, using the principle of gud achit, we're going to say it's considered a Rishut HaYachid. So just like you said gud achit by the case of the basket, say gud achit by the case of the walls of the boat. That what? That in the wide part of the boat, extend them downward, and now you have a Rishut HaYachid. Alma, we can imply from the case of the traskal. Traskal is the basket. Amina gudahit meista. How can I hear too by the case of the boat? Nema gudahit meista. Say the principle of gudahit meista. Matkif la Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef asked the question on Rav Nachman. Velo shami'a lehu. But you're bringing me a question. You're bringing me a question from the case of the traskal. Didn't you hear? Lehad amar of Yehuda amar Rav. That they brought down from the Yehuda Amar Rav, Umatu ba Mishum Rav Chiya. Some question that maybe they bring it down from Rav Chiya. Vetani Allah, we learned on that case of Traskal, V'achamim Potrim. On the contrary, the rabbis in that case of Traskal say, you're Patur. So what do you see? The rabbis obviously don't hold of this principle, good achit, in this case at least. And therefore, very nice, you ask me a question, why did you say good achit? You bring me a proof from this case of the Traskal. He says, hold it. Rav Yosef challenges back and says, do you realize that the rabbis in this case over here don't say good achit? So what are you bringing me a proof for? The rabbis are against us saying it over there. Amar leh. So Amar leh Abaye. So Abaye comes back to Rabbi Yosef and says, hold it. But you don't hold it the principle of gud achit? Which now you're telling me what? That the rabbis don't hold it a principle? How could that be? We have another brayta that says, Amud b'rishut rabim. We have, let's say, a column, okay, in the Rishut Rabim, Gavoa Asara, it's 10 Tefachim high, so you have the height, V'rachav Arba'ah, and it also has the width of Arba'ah, 4 Tefachim, however, V'en Be'ikaro Dalid, its base, however, narrows out, and in its base you do not have 4 Tefachim, V'yesh Be'katzar Shelo Gimal, and the narrow part of it is above 3 Tefachim from the ground. So therefore, let's say you have a hamud of 10, 4 tefachim up in height, it's narrow, it's 3 tefachim, and then from 5 to 10, it widens out to 4 tefachim. Okay? Vezarak v'nachal gabav, and you threw something and it landed on that hamud, the Gemara says chayav. Well, how could that be? But you don't have a full column of 4 tefachim wide. Alma aminan guda hait v'aitzta. Must be because you say that from the wide part, you imagine the wall going down, and therefore giving you 10 tefachim of wall with a space of 4 tefachim. So say the same thing by the boat. So again, Abaye says what? You don't hold a good height, Mechitza? If you want to see a picture of what we're talking about here, it's 581 in your Pirush eyes. Here you see a column of 10 tefachim. It's wide on top, and towards the bottom it narrows out. So say from over here, from the wide part, draw a straight line down, gudahit, and therefore it'll make it a reshut. And everybody holds gudahit in this case. So you're telling me, when the Gemara of Nachman brought a question, he said, why don't you say gudahit? And I'll prove you can say gudahit. From where? The case of Traskal. Mm-hmm. So Rav Yosef came back and said, Traskal? The rabbis say that you don't say gudahit by the Traskal. Mm-hmm. So Abayeh comes back and says, what do you mean? I'll give you a case where everybody says it. By the Amud, everybody holds gudahit. So just like you say gudahit by the Amud, you should say gudahit by the boat. So comes the Gemara and says, on this case, midi iriya, is it analogous? Is this case of the Amud comparable? Hatam havyala mechitza shagedayim bokaim ba. Hacha havyala mechitza she'en hagedayim bokaim ba. Which means like this. We have another principle. When could you say gudahit? Which means, when are you allowed to use this principle of gudahit? So the Gemara is coming along to say that you only say it where, if you make this imaginary wall, it's in a place where goats, for example, would not be able to penetrate that spot. True, it's an imaginary wall, but it has to be in a place where animals do not walk through that area. Animals are not going to be walking through your imaginary wall. Because if animals are walking through your imaginary wall, it's not going to let the wall come down. So therefore, for example, in the case of the Traskal, right? You have a narrow pole. Now, that pole, it's very accessible for animals just to walk right across and under the pole. Therefore, the rabbis in that case are not going to say gudachit because it's a place that gedaim bukimbo. It's a place where the goats are able to penetrate. They could walk right up until, as you see in the picture, right underneath the taska, right up to the pole. And therefore, in that case, the rabbis are going to say no gudachit. However, go further. However, in the case of the Amud, since over here it's very, very wide, right?
You have to go around it.
It's not normal for the Gedaim to go over here because they're going to rub against the wall. See, they don't have really room to walk under that spot where you're making the Gudahit. And therefore, in this case over here, where Gedaim are not Bukhaimbo, therefore what? Mm-hmm. We're going to say that we will say good achit. So comes the Gemara and says, let's just read the Rashi for a second. Rashi is midi iriya. It is about 10 lines after they get wide. Kula Abaye amala Rabbi Yosef. Which this is all Abaye telling Rabbi Yosef, deha de maiti raya. Which is, you came along and you tried to bring me a proof. And what did you try to tell me? I'm just reading the Agotabah. The mighty, the Amiditani, from the fact that it said, Hakamim pro potrim, right? Which means you came along, Rav Nachman, And you told me, oh, what are you talking about? It says Hakamim Potrim. Abaye says, well, that's no proof. Which means that's no proof over here. Had the task of the kapati the banan. Why? Mishum the avyam mechitzah shegedayim bokeim barashi says. Because that case over there they don't say because the gedayim are able to penetrate. Milimata ba'aris tahat mechitzah tatraskal. Why? She'en peshutot ne'alan min hakaneh lechosad. Because you're going to say the walls of the traskal, let's say, imaginarily go down to all the sides. Uvikiat gedayim me'akevet. But the fact that the gedayim are able to penetrate, it's going to prevent it from coming down. Milimar gudai chare ovim tahtea. Aval, now here's Abaye's end of the question. Sifina, in a boat, there are no interferences, right? Obviously, there are no goats in the water. So therefore, leka bikat gedayim, she'en lecha ovet tahtea, there's nothing underneath the water. So therefore, bring me a proof from the case of the amud. Just like in the Amud you say Gudahit, when there's no Biki'at Gedayim, so to Abaye says, say Gudahit by the boat, let the walls go down, and therefore you'll have a full-fledged Rishuta Yachid. So comes the Gemara and says, Amad Rabaha, Bered Rabaha, Rabaha Shem, Yabeh Sefina Nameh, yeah, by the boat also. Ha, Ika Biki'at Dagim. Yeah, fish. She's the fish are swimming underneath that area where you're putting your imaginary wall. And therefore, since you have Bikiat Dagim, you will not be able to say, good, I get you, because you're placing the walls on the side, right? In the area that is Hortifahim, and your imaginary bringing them down. Only how could you bring an imaginary wall in that spot? There are fish that are swimming in that area. So Hamaleh, so he told them back, Bikiat Dagim, La Shemi Bikiat. He says, no, Abaye will say, Bikiat Dagim, that's not considered a issue, that's not considered a problem. So it comes out at this point in the Gemara, we have a few dinim. Number one, in the case of a traskal, we have a machloket. Which means, Rakhamim will tell you, by the traskal, you don't say Gudahit. Why? Because there is Bikiat Gedayim. Where is the Rabbi Yoseh, the Rabbi Yehuda in that Braita held? You do say Gudahit. So obviously he holds that you don't go with this principle of Bikiat Gedayim. In the case of the Amud, there everybody held what? You say Gudahit Mechitzta, because there is no issue of Bikiat Gedayim. In the case of the boat, comes out we also have a machloket as well. Do you say Biki'at Dagim or not? If you're going to hold Biki'at Dagim, which is obviously the opinion of the Rabbi Yosef, right? He's going to say that there is Biki'at Gedayim. Therefore he had a question. Therefore it's going to be Asur. Where is Rav Nachman? Will hold that what? There is no issue of Biki'at. Because he holds Biki'at Dagim. Fish is not considered an impediment, so to speak, to stop the wall. Now, give what I was going to ask. The next question. Umina Timra, where do you know that Biki'at Dagim are not considered a problem from stopping the wall from going down? So it says, Deba'amine Rabbi Tabla Mirabin. Rabbi Tabla is the question to Rabin. Mechitza tiluya ma'u shetatir bechurba. We have a situation where we have a dilapidated house. It's a churba. It's a house that was, let's say, old and dilapidated, and the walls, some of the sides of the walls have come apart, which means they're dangling. Mm-hmm. Now, even though, let's say, it has a din of a reshut hayachid inside, however, this area is opened up into a reshut harabim. Now, we have a rule that says, if you have a reshut hayachid as such, where the walls are not going fully down to the ground, opened up to a reshut harabim, you would not be allowed to carry in that area, because we're concerned that you might inadvertently carry outside through the opening of the wall. Why? Because the walls are mechitzot tiliyot, they're dangling. So the Gemara has a question. Mechitzot tiluyah, you have a hanging wall, ma'u shetatir bechurba, which means, is that mechitzah enough to allow us to carry in the churba? So he says, amale en mechitzot tiluyah materet. So he said, no, that mechitzot tiluyah is not going to allow you to carry, because bottom line, there's a space, and since, let's say, Gedayim are able to go through that area, you cannot say Gudahit. Right? That's in the case of the Chorba, which is on dry land. Ela b'mayim. The only kula will let you say over here is in water. And the Gemara says, Kalu shekilu hachamim b'mayim. There's a special kula that the rabbis allowed in water. What's the case of water? So that she gives us the scenario, we actually have a picture of the case that the hachamim were being lenient with. That is a case of a fellow that wants to draw water. Okay? Look at the top Rashi, Kegon. Top Rashi on the Amud Bet. Gizustra. You have a balcony. Shehi lemala min hayam. It's right over the ocean. Okay? Ditnan bi'rubin. She says, we learned in Erubin. De'osem mechitzat teluya saviv umimaleh. Which means you're able to make a mechitza, which means you make, let's say, a 4x4, like we learned earlier on the boat. You make a 4x4 frame, right? And you draw through that frame. What is it going to do for you? We're going to consider the walls of the frame as if they went down, and therefore you say gudach. It'll be considered a reshut hayachid. Now you're drawing not from a karmelit to your gizustra to reshut hayachid, but you're actually drawing through a reshut hayachid, because the frame is considered as if it goes all the way down into the water. Now you're learning a double chidush over here. Not only do you say gud achit, that the walls, let's say, go down, but the imaginary walls are actually able to make a reshut hayachid, which is now that invisible area. That area is going to be considered a private domain to the extent where you'll be able to draw up water in that area. Or the Gemara gives a different case where you'd say gudachid. Let's say this is the picture 585 in your picture books. You have a well. It's in on two sides of the hasir. Okay? And therefore, technically, you have a problem because it's being shared in two domains, so you would not be allowed to really draw water from it on Shabbat, because it's being shared. Okay, and you don't have a roof. So what do? You put this wall or a board to split the board in half. Now, when you over the board, you put like a plank of wood across the top of the board, going splitting it in half. Now, what does that do? We imagine this board over here, we say gudachit, it's as if it goes all the way down, and therefore, your board on your side is considered shutiyachit, and the board on the other side is considered shutiyachit. So therefore, you say the principle of gudachit. So the Gemara says, V'amai ha'ika b'giyatagim. What do you mean? What about the fish? Right? It's clearly in the ocean, there are going to be fish that are going to be swimming in that area. Proof positive that the fish do not impede the mechitza. So therefore we learn that what? That according to that opinion, there's a difference between bikiat gedayim and bikiat dagim. Comes the Gemara and says further, Sefinot kishurot. We said if boats are tied to each other, now both we consider a reshut hayachid. Now, the Gemara says, Pshita, if the boats are tied to each other, you can carry from one boat to the other boat. The Gemara says, that is Pashut. Now, Tosfot says, we're assuming that the boats are owned by the same person. If they're owned by the same person, so of course a person is allowed to go from one Reshut Yachid of his to another Reshut Yachid of his. What's the purpose of the Mishnah telling me this? And I can understand also what the Mishnah means, that when the boats are separated, it'll be Asur, because now you have the Karmelit in between. And what are we concerned, Tosfot says? Maybe when you're passing it over, the item might fall into the water, and inadvertently you might pick it up from the water and put it on the boat. So what is the Mishnah have to tell us obvious cases? Again, if they're tied and they belong to one person, Pashut. And if they're separate, Asur, why? Gizra, because it might fall in, you might come and pick it up. What's the purpose of the Mishnah to relate to me these cases? Amarava. Lo nitzlecha ela latir bitzit shebeneem. So Rava comes along and says, now we're talking about a special case where you have a small boat in between them. Now, just to see the picture we're talking about, and then we'll explain it If you look at 586 in your Perush Hai, that's the top picture, you see the two boats are tied to each other, and in between, underneath the eel, the gap there, you have a little smaller boat. That smaller boat they're calling the Besit. Now, what's the Hadush that she says? Lo nitzrecha, I'm reading, metaltelin de matnitin, when it's said in the Mishnah, that you could carry from one boat to the other, Ela letaltel mizu lezu, you can go from one boat to the other, derech betzit ketana, which means you can carry or transfer through using that middle small boat, sheben shtei gedolot, v'avapish shena keshura, even though that small boat is not tied to anything, niteret al yedei keshirat shtayim haitzonot, that boat becomes permissible to use as a transfer boat, since the larger boats are tied to each other. We're not concerned that that smaller boat might float away, because let's say that small boat now moves away, there is going to be an area now where you go over the big boat to the other big boat, that's going to be a Karmelit. What's filling in the gap of the Karmelit? That little boat. So the Hiddush is that even though the little boat in between is not tied to anything, so long as it's filling the gap, it'll be permissible to go from one boat to the other boat using the Betzit. Hiddush of the Mishnah, that we don't suspect, like you see in picture 587, that the Betzit will float away. Now, by going from one Simrat to another, you're going to be transferring over a Karmelit area. Kamash Ma'alan, that it's okay. So long as the besit is in between, we are not going to be concerned that you're going to transfer over a Karmelit area, because we don't want you to go from a Reshut Yahid to a Reshut Yahid over a Karmelit. Again, this is assuming that what? That the Karmelit is beginning, let's say, from the surface of the water. So comes the Gemara and says,
the
boats are considered Shuti Yahid. However, when you're going to transfer over it, you're within, let's say, the airspace of a Karmelit. So from a Reshut Yahid to a Reshut Yahid over the airspace of a Karmelit would be a problem. Also, what alleviates that? The little boat in between. Hiddush is that even though it's not tied, will allow you to transfer from one boat to the other. Amar le Rav Safra. So he comes along, Rav Safra, and says, Moshe, Shapir Kamart. Rav Safra calls Rava Moshe. Because he's telling him that you are Gadol Bedoro ke Moshe. You are the great rabbi of the generation, like Moshe Rabbeinu was in his generation. Then he tells him, Shapir Kamart. Did you say good? Which means, is that really the Hiddush of the Mishnah? Does that make sense? Metaltelin Mezu Lezutenan. The Mishnah says you're allowed to transfer from one boat to the other boat. There's no mention now of a third boat that is in between. Therefore, it's a little do'at to come along and say that the case is talking about mizu with a third boat in between. It's not mashma like that. Which means it's mashma that there is nothing in between. As she says, mashma she'en acheret mafsik likanez ba ha-metaltel hazeh. Exactly, there's nothing in between. So comes and goes, ela marav safra. So what's the solution of Mishnah? Lo nitzrecha ela le'arev ultaltel mizu lezu. We're talking about two boats that are owned by two different people. Mm-hmm. And the Hiddush is that if you made an Iruv amongst the two owners of the boats, Iruv Hasirot, to combine both Rishuyot, then it'll be permissible only when they are tied to each other. However, if they're not tied to each other, now there's a Karmelit area of the ocean in between, so that breaks the Iruv. So that's the Hiddush of the Mishnah. That what? So long as they're tied together, the Iruv is viable. If they're not tied together, there's a Karmelit Reshut in between, the Iruv becomes nullified. Uchtetanya, like we learned in the Braita. Sefinot kishurot zubezu. So long as the boats are tied to each other, me'arbin. You're allowed to make an Iruv Hasirot amongst both the owners of the boats, umetaltelin mezu lezu. And therefore you can carry from one boat to another boat on Shabbat. Nifsiku. Once, let's say, the boats separate, ne'isru. Now it becomes forbidden. Let's say on Shabbat, the boats separate. We're forbidden to now carry from one to the other. Hazru v'nikshiru. But let's say the boats became retied on Shabbat. Ben shogigin. Whether the people tied it b'shogig, which means inadvertently not knowing that you can't make, let's say, these type of knots on Shabbat. Ben mizidin. Whether they did it intentionally, ben anusin, whether they did it by force, ben muta'in, or whether they were muta'e. That she explains, meaning they intended to do something else, to tie something else, and somehow the boats became tied as a result of it. Hazru lehiteran arishon. The Idush's bottom line, the boats become permissible again as its original heter, meaning originally you will have to carry from one boat to the other. If they came apart on Shabbat, then became reattached on Shabbat, no matter how, they go back to their original heter. Comes again and says, Vechem mahaselet o mahaslot ha-perusot. We have a case over here where a person has mats that are set up as walls in the public domain. What does it mean? Doesn't it about the public domain? And if you look in your picture books, 592, they took mats and they created cubicles. And now you have the Rishuta Yahid, cubicles made out of these mats in the Rishut Harabim. Now, the Gemara says, Me'arbin. So each guy in his cubicle surrounded with the mats is able to make an Eruv with the guy next to him. And he can carry on Shabbat from one area to the other. Niglilu. But let's say on Shabbat, one of these mats rolled up. Or, for example, in your pictures, 593. Now the walls opened up. The mats themselves rolled up. And now you do not have a reshut hayahid anymore. Which means your domain became nullified. So it says, Niglilu Neslu. Well, now obviously, you cannot carry from one place to the other place. That goes, now it goes back to becoming a reshut harabim. Hazru v'nifreshu. But let's say on Shabbat, the walls were, let's say, unraveled again, and they were reformed on Shabbat. So now it says, ben shogegin, whether they unraveled the walls, ben shogeg, ben mizidim, whether they did it on purpose, ben anusim by force, ben mutaim through a mistake, hazru leheteran arishon. So you see, similarly, the same concept, that even on Shabbat, if the walls became walls again, the Eruv becomes viable as it was. Shekol me'itzah shenasah b'Shabbat. Because we have a rule. Any me'itzah that was made on Shabbat, ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid, shemeh me'itzah, is considered a legitimate me'itzah, and therefore, since the me'itzah is legitimate, it goes back to the original way where it was going into Shabbat, you had your eruv, and then it would be permissible to carry from one place to another. Not that it's permissible to make a me'itzah, but if the me'itzah was made, it's considered a legitimate me'itzah. Ini, we have a contradiction. Ve'amar Rav Nachman, lo shanu ela lizrok, which means, when did we say, if let's say these walls became became closed on Shabbat, and then they became opened again, and the walls became viable again, and we consider it what? It is Shutei Yahid again. He says that was only said Lizrok, meaning we're going to say it Lachmir. If somebody would throw from the Shutei Rabim into one of these cubicles now, he's going to be Hayav. Because for somebody throwing, we're going to be considerate a reshut yahid to make him liable. That's a stringency. Aval l'taltel asur. But to walk in those cubicles, we're going to go give it a stringency of reshut rabim, and therefore we're not going to allow you to walk in those cubicles. Meaning, technically, if it's a reshut yahid, you should be allowed to carry in the cubicles themselves. Comes the Gemara and says, no, we're only saying that these items, they are considered lahmir, and therefore they say the same thing by the case that we're talking about, by the sefinot, which means you have the boats, right? They were tied before Shabbat. With an eruv, you can carry from one boat to the other. Now they became detached. Now, Now, once they become attached again, maybe I'll tell you, I'll consider them a reshut yachid in the sense to be mahmir. Which means if you threw something from one boat to the other boat, you'll be hayav, which is what will give it a din of a reshut. But I'll tell you now that let's say you cannot, transfer from one boat to the other. Just like I'm telling you over here by the case of the cubicle of the reshut rabim. Gemara says, no, ki itmar de Rav Nachman, amezid itmar. When did Rav Nachman say that you have a problem over here? That's only when the person put the walls up bimizid. When you put the walls up bimizid intentionally on Shabbat, then already we're strict to say that what? We're going to give it the stringencies that it has a din of it, a shuti ayid lachmir. But what? We're talking about a case where, let's say, the boats were tied unintentionally or by force or things like that. Oh, but comes the Rashi and says, let's read the Rashi inside. Look at Rashi. Amizid itmar. Umishum kinasa. Udiktari matnitim. But that which we learned, hazru le'teran harishon. Didn't we say, no matter how the boats were put back together again, even if they were done by mizid, they go back to the original heter. Now, what's the original heter? The original heter is that you can carry from one boat to the other boat. Now you're telling me, no, if you didn't bimizid, you would not be allowed to do that. So the Gemara Yerashi answers, Ashogegin ve'anusim ve'amut'in ka'e. Which means that deen of Hazun etaran arishon is only talking about if you put the walls up or you put the boats back together bishogeg. However, if you did it bimizid, that's already going to be asur. V'chi ketari mizidin, Hashem me'itzah ka'eh, v'nezroh k'nav Nachman. Which means when it said mezid, it's not going to allow you to carry from one boat to the other boat. On the contrary, Ela, what are we going to say? That it's going to just be considered chumrah, that if you throw from one boat to the other boat, it will be considered, hey, going from a separate ishut ya'id to a separate ishut ya'id is going to be hayab. So again, bottom line, the Gemara was telling us that if you tie the boats together and they were owned by two people and you made an eruv, no problem. If they came apart on Shabbat, according to the Maskana, if they came apart and somebody tied it bishogeg, the eruv comes back to its original viability and therefore you can carry from one boat to the other boat. The Gemara said a similar case by the case of the Mahatzlot, that a person sets up these mats in the Rishut HaRabim and makes different Rishut HaYachids, for example, it'll be permissible for them to carry so long as he makes an Eruv from one to the other. If they came apart, so then of course at that point he cannot. If they come apart, means the guy did it, let's say, Bishogeg, only Bishogeg, then the Eruv comes back and he can carry from one to the other. If he did it Bimizid, however, it would be asur, meaning it would be asur to walk in those areas, because those areas are not considered a shoot at a beam. It would only be considered a shoot yahid legabeh zirikah. Somebody threw in from a shoot at a beam into that area now. We're going to be considering that a shoot yahid to say that he's going to be hayab. So the same thing by the boats. Only when the boats were tied bishogeg on Shabbat does the eruv come back to its original force. However, if they were tied bimizid on Shabbat, it does not come to its original force, and you would not be allowed to carry from boat to boat. There's only a din of shogeg. Comes the Gemara and says, last point, itmar, we have a statement. Amar Shemuel taught, ואפילו כשורות בחוט הסרבל, that these boats that we're talking about are attached to each other, even if they're attached with a string, that's already considered enough to consider them attached. Now, חוט הסרבל, if you look in your perush eyes, you see in picture 598, you see a jacket, and the way they would tie the collar together is with a little string to keep the collar together, right? So that's called chuta sarbal. So even if you tie the boats with chuta sarbal, it's considered kishurot. So the Gemara says, hechidamir, what's the case? Idi yachol ha'amidan, if the string is able to hold the boats together, pshita, why shouldn't it work? Of course. Idi en yachol ha'amidan, if you can't hold it together, Amai. So why should it be permissible? So Shmuel, what are you telling me? Says Le'olam Diachol La'amidan. Really, obviously, we're talking about strings that are able to hold the boats together. So what's the Hiddush? Ushmuel, the reason why Shmuel made this statement, La'apukem midenafshekate. So you don't make a mistake on something else that Shmuel said. Because Shmuel discussed another deen, and that deen might confuse you regarding the law of Shabbat. So therefore you have to be explicit on Shabbat that you do not get confused by another deen that Shmuel said somewhere else. What was that other deen? Dipnan, we have a Mishnah. This Mishnah is regarding the laws of Tum'ah v'Tahara. Now let's review one of the laws of Tum'ah v'Tahara. It says that if you have a mit in a house, anything that's in the house will become tameh from the mit. Now the Torah tells us that any metal that is in the house will become tameh on the level of the mit itself. Which means metal in a house of the mit becomes avi havot hatum'ah. Just like the mit itself. That's a chidush by metal. As opposed to, let's say, other things that are in the house will become an av hatum'ah. But metal is avi avot. Now, Shmuel discusses a case in the Mishnah. What did it say in the Mishnah? Kashra bedavar ha-ma'amida. Now let's say you have a boat, okay? And you take, you want to dock the boat. So you take, let's say, a metal chain, alright? And you tie it to a peg that's on the dock. Okay, if you look at the anchor, exactly. If you look at picture 597, you see the boat by the dock. You see they're taking the anchor out, let's say it's made out of metal, and they're tying it to a peg on the dock. The problem is on the dock there's an ohel. And there's a mat under the ohel. So now what's going to happen to the status of the boat? So the Mishnah says, Kashra bedavar ha-ma'amida, if you put, you tie the boat with something that can hold the boat, mevi la tum'ah. It's able to bring tum'ah to the items on the boat. How? Because if it's, let's say, metal, right? The metal is going to be considered avi avot ha-tum'ah, because it's under the same roof of the mit. Now, avi avot makes the boat an av ha-tum'ah, and the boat which is an av makes the kelim on the boat a rishon le-tum'ah. And therefore, everything on the boat becomes tameh. Medavar she'en ma'amida. But let's say you tie it with something that's in ma'amida, for example, a string, in nevila tum'ah. Why? Because the string, let's say, will become an av, right? The av will make the boat a rishon. Now a rishon can only metameh ochlin umashkin, can only metameh foodstuff. Right. It cannot metameh kelim. Therefore the kelim on the boat will remain ta'or. So, and now this is, I'm speaking out what Shmuel said. Shmuel is going to explain this Mishnah. Now my Shmuel, v'hu shekishura b'shalshelet shel barzel. Right? Now when do we say that the whole boat becomes tameh? When you're tying it with an iron chain. So therefore, you might have thought that just like I explained in the Mishnah Legabe Tum'ah, that the only time you tie the boat up is with an iron chain. So you might think that so too the Inyan Shabbat, the only time it's considered attached is if it's an iron chain. Says no. He says the Inyan Tum'ah. That was only said the Inyan Tum'ah. Who dichtiv b'halal cherif? Because it says in the Pasuk, regarding a person that died, let's say he was died, but he was killed by a sword that was they speared him, right? So the Torah says that b'halal cherif, that halal cherif means according to Shmuel's derasha or the Gemara's derasha, that the halal, which is the corpse, and the sword have the same level tum'ah. B'halal cherif. Cherev areu kehalal. The cherev as a deen of the corpse. Which means, just like the corpse is avi avot, so too the metal is going to be avi avot. So it says, in, that's, it said yes by tumah, aval inyan Shabbat. Kevan diachol la'amida, afidu b'chut ha-sarbal. On Shabbat it's not a law of tumah. We want the boats to be together so the eruv could be viable. So long as the eruv is, so long as the boats are tied together, even with the chuta sarbal, it's considered together, and therefore the eruv is okay. For tum'ah, it'll make a difference between a metal chain or a
In the previous shiurim and in the upcoming shiurim, we are and have been referring to different pictures of the different cases that the daf is referring to. We are using a sefer called Perush Chai. And therefore, if our listeners want to purchase the Perush Chai and follow along as we announce the numbers in that book where these pictures are, it would be a tremendous aid in order to understand the cases more clearly.